Romance is in the air on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. How does Crystal Joy turn out so many romance novels? We'll ask her today on Scribble. And may I say at the outset that the two of us put our hearts into completely welcoming you. I think I just plugged four books there.
I think you did too.
How did you get into the romance novel business?
I have always wanted to be a writer, about since fourth grade. And I started
What happened in fourth grade?
Well, I met this boy. You know, actually, I had an assignment from a fourth grade teacher where we had to dress up these model dolls in class, and we had to dress them up for whatever career path we wanted to choose at that time. And I remember thinking, maybe I should dress my person up as an author. But I thought, you know what, that's really weird. Who becomes an author? It's something I really want to do, but writers just seem, you know, at that time, I imagined a writer sitting in a corner, you know, by yourself with all black clothes on. And so I decided, well, I can't possibly make my model an author. Everyone's going to think I'm really weird. And so that that evening, after we turned in our assignment, parents could come around and walk around and see what all the students did. And I remember being so disappointed with myself because I thought, you know what? I didn't dress my person up what I really wanted to be. And at that moment, I knew. I said, I'm not going to let anyone else stop me. I will become a writer one day.
No, that's, you know, I'm amazed at the number of people we've had who are authors who started out early, either in writing a lot or deciding that's what they wanted to do. And that's why I can't write. I never had that idea.
Well, I started early, too. I think by fourth grade, I never wanted to be a writer because I knew
that's hard.
that writing was hard for me because I would say, well, today's Thursday. I'm going to start Monday, right? And Monday, I wouldn't have the right pencil. And then pretty soon it would be Wednesday, and I would say, well, I'll wait till next Monday. I'm really going to start next Monday.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you have the self-discipline to do it. But I interrupted you right at the beginning. Keep going, fourth grade, and then what?
Yeah, how did you, I mean...
How did this lead up to becoming a romance writer?
Well, you know, I dated a lot in high school and college. And one of my favorite parts about dating was getting to know myself. In every relationship, I learned more about myself. And I think that's what draws me to writing romance because in addition, you know, I write sweet and wholesome romance. So in addition to, you know, the butterflies in my character's stomachs and, you know, their relationship, falling in love, all of my characters find themselves or they find a part of themselves that they never knew existed in the other person. And that's what I really enjoy writing about is characters finding themselves and falling in love at the same time.
But you didn't start out writing romance novels, did you?
I did.
Wow. I mean, how early?
Oh, geez. In college is when I started writing my first romance novel.
Uh-huh.
Which is not published yet.
Oh, well, you've got one in the wings. I mean,
I do. I wanted to publish other books first. As you can imagine, writing your first book, it's terrible. It's a terrible draft. And so I decided to publish several other books first before tackling this big project, which is actually going to be my next published book.
Next published book is your first one?
Yes.
My goodness. And will that put a cap on? Or it seems to me, once you get going, you keep going. There are two heart books, two completely... Do you do these in pairs?
I didn't set out to do it that way. When I wrote Shackled Heart, I really fell in love with my characters, Charlie and McKenna. And initially, it was just a standalone novel. But because I fell in love with them and I'm very character-driven, I decided I couldn't let them go, and then decided to write Shattered Heart, and then now Stained Heart will be the third book in my small town romance series. And the fictionalized love stories kind of fell into my lap more than anything else. I was working on Shackled Heart, and it was also one of my first books, and it needed a lot of work. So I decided, instead of publishing that first, I decided to start writing love stories for couples on my website. So I would interview them, and then I would write their story as if they were the hero and heroine of their own love story. And so I posted them on my website, and they became such a hit that I decided to publish collections of these love stories throughout my career as well. So I have two out right now, Completely Captivated and Completely Yours.
Do people let you do this?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's amazing what people will tell me about their relationships.
That they wouldn't tell each other, right?
Right, yes.
Do you change the names, I hope?
You know what? I change the names. So Completely Captivated, Completely Yours are a mix of weddings, engagements, tragic circumstances, and breakups. So you don't actually know which couples will end up together until you finish their story. So the breakups, I change the names because I'm not out to make anybody look bad. But the people who are still together and they want to be featured in a book, they want me to use their real names.
Uh-huh. That's interesting that you started out on the internet. That shows you how far out of sync I am with the world. I would never think of that. But how did that come to you?
Well, once I realized that they were such a hit, and once I started interviewing couples and realized how much they enjoyed it, you know, I just enjoy allowing people to share their love stories. Because a lot of times what happens at first is I start talking about these books and someone will say, oh, you would never want to hear my story. It's not very good. An hour later, I have heard their entire love story, and it's beautiful. And really, any relationship is beautiful. And I enjoy helping people see that. If you think about it, you know, if you've been married for a certain amount of time or you've dated for someone for a long time, you forget the beginning. And so when I interview them, it's really fun to have them remember some of those initial feelings or troubles that they had at the beginning of their relationship.
But I mean, how did it occur to you to go on the internet and ask for this? Or did you directly ask for it? Or did you put out a call, hey, tell me your love story? How did that work?
I initially contacted a lot of friends and family. So my first book, Completely Captivated, has a lot of couples that I know. But once I published Completely Captivated, I did have couples reaching out to me saying, I think you would really like my story. Could I share it? And then I had put that in Completely Yours.
That is really neat. I can imagine a lot of people are really pleased to have themselves appear in a book and their love story.
They are.
Why hasn't somebody else thought of this before?
I don't know, but I'm excited I was the first one to think of it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I know. Of course, mine is kind of weird. So.
Yeah, well, she's listening.
You want to be in my next book?
Not really. I put out my first and only book just by tacking together some columns, which was a cheesy way to do it. But, you know, that way I can say I have written a book.
That's right. You can.
Yeah, but no one listens when I say that. Do you work on a schedule? I mean, do you write on a particular time of the day or day of the week?
I do. I have three kids, a one-year-old, an almost four-year-old, and a five-year-old. So if I don't schedule the time to write, there is absolutely no way it would ever get done. I would never publish a book. And I also view my writing time kind of like a workout. You know, when you first start working out, you have to get your muscles used to working out, right? I view writing time the same way. I never have writer's block because when I sit down, I switch from mommy mode to writer mode within about 5 minutes and I'm ready to go because I know that that's the only time of the day that I will get to write.
What time of day? Morning, night?
Well, I usually write in the afternoon, either during nap time or when my kids are at preschool. Otherwise, I have help from my parents and my in-laws a lot. And then on those days, I'll go to like Coffee Hound or Dun Brothers in the morning, and I'll work on my books. That way I can get a little more, quote-unquote, peace and quiet than I would at my house.
You know, Roald, I think there must be coffee joints all over the world filled with writers.
Oh, yeah. I never wrote. Well, I did. I did. The writing that I did in coffee shops or at Hardee's. I graded every paper I've ever graded there.
How do they make any money selling you a cup of coffee and you're occupying a space?
People come in to say hi to me and they buy coffee. Crystal, let's start with your first book. How did that get published? People try desperately to get published, and you don't seem to have had a very hard time.
I have a really great group in the Quad Cities. We call ourselves the Quad City Scribblers, and it's a writer's group full of people who blog, of people who traditionally publish, who self-publish. And when I initially decided to publish, I really wanted to pursue traditional publishing. However, when I was trying to publish Shackled Heart, I was working with a publishing company who only publishes romance, and they, every time I would send in my manuscript, they just wanted me to increase the heat level. And like I said, I write sweet and wholesome romance. So it got to the point as I continued redrafting my book that I just didn't feel comfortable with that. And so I finally decided to self-publish. Some friends in my writer's group had done it before. So they already had great contacts, like a cover artist, an editor, and a formatter. And so by the time I decided to self-publish, I had great contacts to create my book team.
Wait a minute. There's somebody else using the term scribbler. What is Quad City Scribblers?
It's just a group of writers. We all connected one way or another and met each other through, you know, the Bettendorf Library or other places like church, and we just decided to form a group. So it's really more of, I call it like a writer support group. We don't necessarily exchange work. We just get together and talk about what's going well, what's not going so well, help each other out, and brainstorm.
That's interesting because the Quint City poets meet and they pass out copies of their poems, read them, and then the others critique them. But it'd take too long to critique a novel, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But that's interesting. How long has this group been going?
For about 6 years, I believe. And then within the group, we do have writer critique partners. So like I have my writer critique partner, Janice, and she writes suspense. So it's really fun having a critique partner who writes suspense and I write romance because our strengths are completely opposite. And so we work together very well.
So how long does it take you to write a book?
Each book is different. Completely Captivated and Completely Yours don't take as long, about 9 months or so, because I don't actually have to write the plot. When I sit down and I interview couples for those books, I say, imagine your relationship is a movie. Pick 5 scenes. That's your story. So for those stories, it's mainly figuring out, how do I want to structure the story? What do I want to start with? What do I want to end with? How do I want to build suspense? Shackled Heart took me 7 years, only because I was working full-time when I started writing the book. And then Shattered Heart took about 2 years. And that's my latest book.
Mm-hmm. Now, these are books that came from your own imagination, those two?
Shackled Heart and Shattered Heart, yes. The crazy thing with both Shackled Heart and Shattered Heart is they, like you said, they both came from my imagination. I had my characters in mind and started writing their stories. And then coincidentally, with both books, I've had personal experiences similar to what has happened in my books, and then was able to use those personal experiences to strengthen and deepen my characters and the plot.
Roel, that's it. If you write a book, it comes from your own experience.
Right. I haven't had that much. What makes something a romance novel? I mean, lots of books have couples. They fall in love, they get married, or they get divorced, or whatever. Why do you call some books a romance and others just novels?
Well, it depends if it's a subplot or a plot. So if the whole plot is centered around the romance, then it's a romance novel. If there is just a romance in addition to the main plot, then that would just be a subplot, and that could be any other genre.
How many books have you published altogether?
4.
And are you planning... you say you're preparing the first novel you wrote to be released.
Yes. So the third book, Stained Heart, will be the third book in my small town romance series.
Uh-huh.
And I plan on continuing to publish more small town romances, not necessarily in the same small town romance series, which is actually based on the village of East Davenport. But I plan on writing more small town romances and love story collections.
I must say the use of the internet in this situation and others is interesting. Do you maintain a strong presence on the internet?
I don't currently. I do some with Facebook, but I'm actually in the process of creating a YouTube channel. It's going to be called Coffee with Crystal, and it's for writers who want to learn how to create their own book business.
Mm-hmm. And when will that go up?
Sometime in the next couple of weeks. I just finished the trailer, and I'm getting everything together for the YouTube channel. I just feel very passionate about helping other writers at this point. Because I'm becoming successful with self-publishing, I do a lot of vendor fairs and book signings, and I feel like it's really the way to go as far as connecting with readers face-to-face. And so now that I'm becoming successful, I really want to help other writers learn how to make a business out of their careers.
Where can we find your books?
You can find my books on Amazon if you like ebooks, or you can go to Nook, Kobo. Locally, you can get them at the book rack and Just Because. You can also get them from me. Like I said, because I do a lot of vendor fairs and book signings, I keep a lot of my books in stock, and I'll have readers contact me via Facebook or through email, you know, from my website and say, hey, I want your next book. You know, I just finished Shackled Heart. I can't wait another minute. Can I pick up Shattered Heart? And so my favorite thing is to meet with readers. And, you know, at that point, if they've just finished a book, they want to talk about it. They want to know, are Charlie and McKenna in the next book? You know, or with my love story collections, a lot of times I'll have readers reach out to me and say, you know, how is so-and-so doing? You know, I know they broke up at the end of their story. Is she okay now? Is she married? And they really connect because they know that these people are real and they want to know that they're okay.
But, you know, it is interesting that I've often said, Hamlet could live next door to you and you'd pay no attention to him. Put him on the stage and all of a sudden he is more real than any person you know. Why is it that fictional characters have this impact on us? You're the professor. Do you know?
Because they're true, right?
What do you mean they're
Which
true?
Is beyond
they're fictional.
Factual.
They're fictional.
They're true, but not factual. Yes.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Hawthorne, I think, defines romance well. He said, "What makes a romance, is that in a novel, a person is either a gas station attendant or a teacher or something, right? And they behave in a certain way and live in a certain town. In a romance, you're after the truth of the human heart, which is a higher kind of thing than mere surface truth."
How about that?
I don't know if you agree
with
that.
I like that answer.
Yeah,
that's really good.
The truth of the human heart, I think, is, and that's what Hawthorne said he was doing. And sometimes you have to take liberties with the surface, stretch it a little. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on one level, you're a gas station attendant, or you're a broadcaster, or you're a state senator. On a deeper level, you're a saint or a sinner.
I was never a gas station attendant, right? So knock it off.
So let's hear a little bit of romance writing from Crystal Joy.
Yeah, you have a spot you can go to?
I do. So I'm going to read a portion of a scene from Completely Yours. So this is one of the fictionalized love story stories. This is Megan and Tom's story, and this is from the middle scene of their love story. A tear slipped down Megan's cheek. Being alone in this new apartment was anything but peaceful. Not when a turmoil of emotions squeezed her inside so tightly she could barely breathe. A year ago, she'd asked for a separation. They'd lived together through most of it, until a few days ago when Tom had the official separation papers served to her. Now, she was second-guessing everything. Sniffling, more tears streamed down her face. She sank down into the mattress, burying her head under the comforter as sobs rocked her body. Unlike her first divorce, this didn't feel right. Without Tom, a part of her was missing. She needed him. Like a traveler walking through the desert, he was her water source. She turned onto her stomach and screamed into the pillow. She let everything out, all the hurt, the anger, the bitterness. She continued screaming until her voice grew hoarse and her throat felt raw. Flipping over to her side, she stared at the almost empty nightstand, her gaze resting on her cell phone. She yearned to call Tom and tell him that she didn't want a divorce. But she couldn't say that, not when she'd been the one to ask for a separation in the first place. And yet, she desperately wanted to hear his voice. She reached for her phone, scrolling through her contacts, and clicked on his name. Seconds later, Tom's voice came out sharp, slicing through her heart. What? She swallowed hard, fighting the urge to hang up, to give up on their relationship for good. I wanted to hear your voice. Okay. I know you're mad. Tom sighed into the receiver, and she could just imagine him running a hand through his hair. Look, we're a week away from signing the divorce papers. I just want to get this over with. Her lips trembled. Did he really mean that, or was it his anger speaking? She sat up against the headboard, knowing she had to make this right. She couldn't lose him. Would you meet me for lunch? He didn't answer. Please. This time, she wasn't asking. Okay. Megan's eyes widened, and a touch of a smile graced her lips. It was time to get her husband back.
And so the plot thickens.
Are women better romance writers than men?
I would think so.
Well,
that's probably a good answer. You know, it just depends. I know Nicholas Sparks, you know, he doesn't necessarily claim to be romance. He claims to be women's fiction just because not all of them end up together.
But I definitely consider him romance, and he's a great writer.
He gets
attention because he's one of the few men writing romance.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Why do you think that is?
You know, his stories are really good. They are, you know, one thing I admire from him and something that I try to do in my own writing is that he touches on deep-rooted issues. Not only does he write about a romance, but he touches on readers' emotions. And that's what I try to do in all of my books as well. I don't want just this, you know, this fun romance, although that I want some of the dates and some of their conversations to be fun and exciting. I want it to be entertaining in a way that touches your heart, that you feel the character's deep emotions in your gut.
How do you characterize your style of romance in a particular way? What kind of romance is this?
I call it deep-rooted romance.
Deep-rooted romance, uh-huh. Well, I must say, you are deep into it, and you are going to keep going. Obviously, you're working on yet another book?
Yes.
That's spoken like an author. We've been talking to Crystal Joy completely and with heart. And her books are available, and we thank you very much for taking time to visit with us, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, there's a field I don't think you've explored, romance writing.
I did once. I did.
Oh, the things
I
that
was,
come
when,
out on this show.
When I was in college,
yeah.
I think I was a sophomore, I said, you know, I can write that kind of stuff. So I sat down and I wrote a story called I Bought a Husband. And I sent it in to one of those true romance magazines. And it didn't get accepted, but it got a letter back saying, you know, this is pretty good. We would like to see more of your stuff. Well, I had no intention of writing romance, so I never. But I do have a romance novel a short story to my credit.
Roald, we can make time on this program for you to read it if you want.
I don't think I could find it anymore. But
What have you found in the book bag?
You know, you and I have been arguing for years about the value of nonfiction versus fiction. And you sort of dismiss fiction and hold up nonfiction as sort of the in thing. It's real. It's serious. You know, it isn't just a flight of fancy.
No, I don't dismiss fiction. But I say that I just have been in the habit. I used to read a lot, but now I read nonfiction.
Well, Nan Carter, our contact in Berkeley, sent me a book by a Ghanaian writer, Ghana in Africa, called Tale of the Bluebird, that raises that very question about nonfiction versus fiction in a very interesting way. The story is Tale of the Bluebird, T-A-I-L, and the author is Nii, N-I-I, I don't know how to pronounce that, Parks, P-A-R-K-E-S. Here's the situation. A bird watcher, a tourist, goes into the jungle on the trail of a bluebird she's seen. And she discovers in a little village of 12 huts a stench coming from one of the huts, rotting flesh. Goes back to Accra, the main town in Ghana, and reports it to the police. The police send out a young forensic pathologist named Keo, along with a police sergeant, to find the truth. What happened? What is this rotting piece of flesh? And they go there, and it turns out that it has no bones. It's clearly flesh from an animal. Is it human or not? And this young pathologist has all the tricks of the trade of nonfiction to his credit. He has access to DNA sampling. He has access to fingerprints. He has access to anything he wants. That is, he's the nonfiction part. But the chief of police says, this better be an important case because I'm up for promotion and I want this to be an important enough case so I'll get promotion. Meanwhile, the villagers, using 400-year-old folktales, using the supernatural, they also try to solve the case. What is this little piece of flesh that's rotting in this hut? And they come to completely opposite conclusions. But you don't know by the end of the story which the fiction, the folktales, or the DNA evidence is the correct evidence. May be just as correct as anything. They're using a kind of wisdom that goes back 400 years.
That's fascinating.
And besides which, the report of the police has to puff up the case so that the guy will get a promotion. So even in nonfiction, there is plenty of fiction. Yeah, even a nonfiction writer selects. You're going to write about the Civil War. You can't do it all. And so there's... The line between nonfiction and fiction in this book is very thin.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's a marvelous way to construct a story.
It is wonderfully done.
Yeah.
And it's told in Pidgin Ghanese, Pidgin English. You know, so you eventually get used to it, but it really is well done. And it raises it in a way that I've never seen it raised before.
Okay, give us the name and the author again, and you'll have to spell the author.
The name is Tale of the Bluebird.
T-A-I-L.
And the author is Nii, N-I-I, Parks, P-A-R-K-E-S. He has a middle name, but you don't need that, and I can't pronounce it.
Okay. Well, that is our recommendation from the book bag. And with that, we will kind of call up the theme and head out. I'm Don Moot with Roll Tweet. We thank you for joining us today for our little excursion into romance novels. We'll be back next week with another subject on Scribble.